scripture this week. I kept coming back to, I was going somewhere else, but I kept coming back to this one passage of scripture, and it's two parables that are tied together. And to me, I would just kind of say the general theme is God doesn't use keep-out signs. The title of the message this morning is Let Me In, Keep Them Out. I draw your attention to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Stand together with me, please. We're going to read in verses 9 to 17. Luke 18, starting at verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up from the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, even this tax collector. Why, I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He couldn't even look up to heaven. He beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other one, went home more justified before God, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, Let the little children come unto me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Remember the scripture reference that's on the wall of the exit of the church as you go out of the foyer into the parking lot? It says, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. The mission of this church is to come to know Christ personally and to make him known to others by our actions, witness, and example. And that in mind, as we start this new year, I feel like God would have us to look at this passage of scripture, these two parables that are tied together, and to see that the theme, that there is a wrong way and a right way of approaching God and how we consider bringing others to God. Let me in or keep them out. Let me in or keep them out. Maybe you had heard the illustration this morning that I would reference. There was a man in a town that he was very lost and wicked. He was rebellious. Everyone knew him about his standard, how he was in business, being a cutthroat, how he was in life. He was an adulterer, an alcoholic. He was one who had never been a member of a church in his life, a prominent businessman. But one day he woke up and he says, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to join a church. And so he went to this church and he asked to have his membership placed there. He stood up and he gave a strong public testimony. What God had done in his life and how he'd grown up in church. And while they readily accepted him as a member, everybody knew his name and thought, hey, you know, we'd like to have him in our church. He went on that day and told his wife, who, by the way, went to another church. He told her what that he had done. And his wife, who was a very godly lady, called him on the carpet and said, you said what? You told them what? She went on to condemn her husband for what he'd done and call him a hypocrite and said, you really need to go back to the church next Sunday morning and you need to tell them the truth about yourself. I mean the real truth about yourself. The more the guy thought about it, the more he thought, this is what I need to do. So the next Sunday, he goes back to that church and there's a point in the service, he walks down to the front again. This time, he confessed to the church all of his sins. He told them how he'd been dishonest, how he'd been an alcoholic, an adulterer. And for that he was sorry, the church chose to revoke his membership that they'd only given him a week before. They chose to revoke it right on the spot. He walked out of the church that day scratching his head, and he muttered to himself, "Those church folks are really strange. I tell them a lie, and they took me in. But I tell them the truth, and they kick me out." God help the church. What a sad commentary. Here in these two parables that are tied together, we see in the first one two different approaches of how to come to God. There's the approach of the Pharisee, the publican. There's also the approach of the tax collector. The audience that Jesus is giving these parables to is the audience of the Pharisees. They saw themselves as being the keepers of the faith. They were the ones who kept the law. They were the ones who were the quote-unquote professional church folk. They were the ones that Jesus quite often was trying to get through their head to get to their heart. And to get through their heart to get to their head. Saying, "Guys, you got it all figured out, but you got it all figured out wrong." The Pharisees, so he would speak to them in parable. And as he gave this illustration this morning, he spoke about the parable here and was wondering, are they getting it? Are they getting it? Are they really understanding that the attitude of let me in and keep them out is not an attitude that is of God? Church through the centuries and church today. Could there be a little Pharisaicalism in any one of us? Say, "Oh no, that's not possible. We're good old folk." If we've ever looked down our nose at someone else, this passage of Scripture is speaking to us. If we've ever thought of ourselves that, man, we're in church and they don't go to church and they need to go to church, this Scripture may be speaking to us. If we've ever thought that, boy, that person's wound up in this sin or that sin, or do you know that if that person was to wind up walking in a church door, oh my goodness, the lightning would strike and the roof would fall open and we all might get singed. This passage might be speaking to us. Lord, help us to hear what you want us to hear with our head and with our heart, to understand that we need to see people the way that he sees people. We need to approach him in a way that it's acceptable to him. Not good in our own heart, not good in our own mind. The first one in the illustration is the one who was very religious. The two men went up to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. Why, the Pharisee, man, he was impressive. Think of what this guy did. He dotted all the I's. He crossed all the T's. He went strictly by the book. He had a heart for religion, but his religion had no heart. He was a guy that stood in the center of the courtyard, and he stood in a place where he could be heard by everybody and seen by everybody as he started to call out in prayer. Let me give you a Blankenship translation of his prayer. "Hear me, O Lord, for I am so special. Answer my prayer so that all will see." That was the gist of his prayer. "God, you just ought to be impressed that I'm right here. Not only am I one who dots all the I's and crosses all the T's, I go way beyond it." Scripture here tells us that he fasted 2 days a week. That was 103 more times than what was the absolute minimum to fast during a year. The Old Testament Scripture tells us that they would fast on the Day of Atonement. So that was once a year that they were to fast. This guy fasting twice a week, and if there were 52 weeks in a year, and if my math is right, that's 104 minus 1. He fasted 103 more times than was necessary. God bless him. Not only that, he tithed not just on his income, he tithed on everything that he had, so he was a double tither. Man, the church always appreciates when you tithe. But just tithing to think that you're going to buy your way into heaven or buy your way into God's favor. To fast just thinking that if you do it, that it's going to buy God's favor. It's coming at it from the wrong approach. He wanted everyone to know how wonderful he was. He really wanted to impress the Lord. But the problem was, his attitude determined his approach and led to his non-acceptance. If we come to the Lord with the wrong attitude, why would he hear us? Why would he listen to us? Why would he answer our prayer? This guy thought that, really, I'm too good. I don't really need to do this, but I'll do it so that others will see and benefit that we serve a great, majestic, all-loving God. Holier than thou might have been his theme song, might have been his mantra. Look at me, how special I am. He thought that God would accept and be impressed with all of what he was doing. But you know what impresses God? When we don't try to impress God. Not when we come to him with thinking how worthy we are, and God, you really ought to just set everything aside and listen to me for the next 5 or 10 minutes as I call out to you in prayer. No. Coming to God not as the Pharisee, but as the tax collector. The Pharisee, let me in. The tax collector, I'm not worthy to be in. The Pharisee holding, not even being willing to look up because he was looking down on everyone else, and he really saw himself almost on the same level as God. But the tax collector not willing to look up because he was so embarrassed. The Pharisee with pride that was so big that it kept him from right relationship. The tax collector who knew that he had really nothing to give. A tax collector, think just a moment if you would, how they were viewed in their society. They were really the scum of the Jewish society. They were the IRS for the Roman government. Everyone knew that they skimmed off the top and all that extra money went to them. They were really considered traitors to Israel. And they were ones who were so despised they couldn't hold public office. And literally, almost like shepherds, they could not testify in a court of law because their word was not considered to be valid. Think of it in this day, an IRS agent's word not being valid. Funny. And for those of you that work for the government, I understand you have to smile on the inside. But now the story gets a strange twist to it. The Pharisee tried to impress God, but he wasn't able to. But to God, the tax collector impressed him. By being so humble, he stood off to the side. He bowed his head and he cried out, "Oh Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." That's the prayer that God hears. God, have mercy on me. I fall so short. I'm not worthy of your love. I'm not worthy of your presence. I'm not worthy of your blessings. I'm not worthy to come and stand in the center. I'll just stand off to the side over here. Lord, I'm not worthy of you, but I sure want you and need you. When we come that broken and that honest, God hears and God answers. So in that first parable, the wrong way to approach him is, let me in. Listen to me, Lord. I'm so special. The right way is, have mercy on me, a sinner. Then we come to the second parable. And here the second parable is a parable in which instead of the Pharisees that he was talking to, And the Pharisee that is used in the illustration, he uses the disciples. And the disciples saw Jesus healing and ministering to different people. And in the healing and ministering to different people, some parents came and brought their children to Jesus that Jesus might lay his hands on them and pray and offer a blessing. And the disciples, seeing themselves as the secret service agents of Jesus, that it's our role to keep the crowd off of him, to make sure that there's not a big push on him, that not too much is demanded of his time. Because you see, he called us to be his inner circle. So we'll just circle him and protect him. He said, come and follow me. And so we follow him just to keep everybody else away from him. That wasn't the disciples' job. They thought that they were protecting Jesus. Listen to the irony of this. By keeping kids away. As if children are going to be a threat to the one who came into this world as a child. Now we all know when children are in the room, they're large and in charge. You may think that you're in control, but let an infant be here, and that infant has control. They tug at our heart. You want to be with your kids. You want to be with your grandkids. Oh, man, you just drop everything. And, you know, it's funny to see adults get on the floor and go goo goo gaga and go crazy. And Dobby did that at Christmas time, and I had a blast doing that. The years melt off. And the innocence of a child. As they look into your eyes and look right into your heart, and they can sense whether you love them or not. Jesus doesn't need disciples from any age keeping his kids away. He doesn't need disciples from any age saying, let me in, but keep them out. He doesn't need disciples acting like Pharisees, saying they're not good enough for you to hear them. No. He needs disciples who'll be like that tax collector. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And he needs disciples. Let me help you take your baby to Jesus. Let me help you take your child to Jesus. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Then why would his disciples keep his kids from him? Why would people approach the Lord thinking, God, I'm so special, you need to listen to me? As I saw these two parables together this way for the first time, it really struck me of the wrong way to approach the Lord and the right way. The wrong way to look at others and the right way. The wrong way to approach him is we look at it and that we're so special, he ought to listen to us and keep them out. Because they're not as special as we are. But the right way, with humility. Lord, I don't have anything to offer you. To be honest, spiritually, I'm flat broke, Lord. I'm nothing with you. I'm nothing without you, but I could be everything with you. Would you come take me just as I am? And Lord, somebody here is bringing a child to you. I want to help get that child to Jesus. Whether that child is 3 months old, 3 years old, 30 years old, 63 years old, 83 years old, or 87 years old, like my mama. And you can tell her, I told you her age. She's thankful that the Lord has blessed her these years. Oh, Church of God, that we would approach Him humbly. Lord, we need You. We don't have anything to offer You, but we need You. And Lord, we got some kids that are trying to get to You, and we want to help get them to You. We don't need to be Secret Service agents that push them away. We don't need to be proud Pharisees that think that we got our whole act together and that God ought to just drop everything He's doing and listen to us. Oh God, help us to see ourselves the way that You see us. You created us and You loved us and we need You. And help us to see others around You that they need You too. And we got a privilege of being able to bring those children to Jesus. I saw one day when we were out and about, and during Christmas vacation with our kids, we went into a restaurant, and we were waiting to be seated, and I was on the inside foyer of the restaurant, and our family was still standing outside, and I put our name in, and there were two sets of family, it looked like to me. They might have been related, I don't know, but two sets of families, and one of them had a little child that was in a carrier, and he started to cry. Somebody of the two families picked him up and cradled him in their arms. And then I saw six adults gather around that one and look right into the eyes of that little child. And they were cooing and awing and smiling and saw a smile. And everybody in the foyer of that restaurant, Davy Crockett's, in Gatlinburg, everybody in that foyer started to smile when they saw that little child smile. You're smiling as I'm telling you that. God loves kids. He smiles anytime any kid of His comes to Him. Each child is precious. Oh, that we would get excited like those folks did of a smile of a child and a child coming to Jesus. Guess what? This room this morning is full of folks. And it's really our choice. Are we Pharisees? Let me in, Lord. Are we tax collectors? Lord, I'm not worthy. Have mercy on me. Are we disciples? Keep them out. God's busy. Jesus is busy. Are we innocent children that we really need someone to bring us to Jesus? Guess what? Jesus loves all four different categories of folks in these parables. He loves us all. Will we look at the world around us the way that He looks at them? Will we realize that we need the mercy and grace and love that He gives? And humble ourselves enough to come to Him, saying, Lord, I need You now. Stand together with me, please. I just wonder this morning, before we pray, maybe there's someone in the sound of my voice. Say, you know what, Pastor? God's laid somebody on my heart that really needs Jesus. And I want to help bring that kid, that child, that precious person to Jesus. And I just need to be able to do it in a way that people are going to see Jesus in my life. If you've got somebody like that that's on your heart and you want to ask the Lord to help you reach them, would you just slip out from where you are and come down front and join me for a closing time of prayer? I got somebody that I'm praying for, and they're precious to you. I want you to be able to hold them and their life in your hand. Maybe there's some others in the sound of my voice this morning that you're saying, you know, I don't have anything to offer, Lord. I failed you so many times, but I need your mercy this morning. Would you have mercy on me? This is not a contest to see who's the baddest or the worst in the room, but it's like, Lord, I just need you. I need your wisdom. I need your touch. I'm not worthy of your love and grace. But would you hear my voice? If that's you, would you slip out from where you are? Maybe you've been in church for a while, and, you know, the longer that we get in church, if we're not careful, it's easy for us to become calloused. And we don't want that. And you're just saying this, Lord, help my heart be tender towards you, that I would hear you and I would see others the way that you see them. That I would humble myself before you always. If that's you this morning, would you just slip out from where you are? Lord, I want to be your disciple. I want to bring children to you, not keep them away. And you're just asking the Lord to help you bring people to Jesus. Would you just slip out from where you are? Let's have a closing season of prayer. Precious Lord, this morning, every one of us is in these two parables. Every one of us is a child. And I'm so glad that there was somebody that made sure that this child could get to Jesus, that he could lay his hands on and pray. There were people that didn't try to keep me away from you. Instead, they said, hey, we got another kid here that wants to see Jesus. We got another precious child here that wants to see Jesus. And Jesus, you put your hand on me, forgave me, blessed me. You've given us a life of following you that's far beyond anything that we could imagine. There's other kids out there that need Jesus. There's other kids hearing the sound of my voice that somebody made sure that they got into Jesus' presence and you touched them and blessed them and forgave them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the disciples that made sure we could get to you rather than disciples that kept us from you. And Lord, look inside our hearts today. We want to come to you with humility, with honesty and openness, saying we don't have anything to offer you. There's nothing special about me and what I do and what I've done and how religious I might look. Lord, help me to see myself the way that you see me, as your child who needs to be loved and forgiven, as your child that needs grace and mercy. May we each come to you with a humility. Lord, we need you. And for our church, the scripture verse says, go and make disciples. I pray, Father, that in 2016, even more than years past, we'll see others the way that you see them. We'll see them as children that need to come to Jesus. We'll see them as men and women that need to be loved. We'll see them, Father, as ones that you came and gave your life for. And we'll love them in your name. Precious Lord, we're just going to thank you in advance. For the people that are going to come to know Jesus, we're going to thank you in advance for the answers to prayer. We're going to thank you in advance for the healing. We're going to thank you in advance for folks that look into the eyes of Jesus and get blessed. We're going to thank you in advance for the way that you look into our eyes and see our heart to change it even more the way you'd want it to. Keep your hand on this church. And I ask that you'd keep your hand on our good friend, Colonel Jeff. As he and other chaplains, we think of Scotty Deese from our church as well. Father, as they go minister in places that it's tough, help them, Father, to see people the way that you see them. Help them to be your disciples that bring people to Jesus. Keep your hedge of protection around them. And for everyone that walks in these doors in this coming year, may they sense your love and that you're the giver of life. We ask this in your name. And everyone said, amen and amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you.